Hello and welcome to Mukti. This is Sophie. I'm going to start you all off with a PSA. You're listening to WMUC Digital, College Park.
Are you a victim of the campus cough or other common symptoms of a cold or sore throat? The accredited University Health Center, located right across from the Stamp Union, can be of assistance. Make an online appointment at www.myuhc.umd.edu. You can receive primary care, reproductive health care, mental health care, dental health, immunization, and much more. What are you waiting for? Schedule your next appointment now.
All right, thank you for that. Very relevant PSA. Make sure that you guys are not getting sick and making an appointment if that is the case. Today, we're going to get into a topic that is very near and dear to my heart, which is the genre of Nueva Canción Chilena. This genre of music was... my background with this, I studied abroad in Chile last year. It was super awesome. And it's a really cool genre because it is just inherently so political. And it was honestly probably the inspiration behind this show. Connecting the political struggles of Chile so directly with a form of music is super duper cool. So what is Nueva Canción? Also known as New Song, it's a genre of music and a social movement that emerged in the 1960s. Although New Song has also been popularized and developed throughout the Southern Cone, meaning like Argentina, Uruguay, Cuba, and other countries, Chile was the most prominent in defining the genre. Nueva Canción can be characterized by its folkloric sound coming from the use of indigenous instruments, like the charango. Wait, actually, I'm going to play a little snippet so you guys can hear charango and know what I'm talking about. If you can hear. Basically, that is charango, which is an indigenous instrument that is super, super key, super integral in Nueva Canción. And that was actually a song called Estudio para Charango by Los Calchaquis, which I will put on my Spintron in case y'all are interested. So Nueva Canción is characterized by its folkloric sound, indigenous instruments, and leftist and working class themes about like social justice and... working class justice, and has been used as a tool of resistance against fascism and dictatorship in Chile. So it turns out I actually wrote a paper on this genre last spring. I had completely forgot because it was like a final paper and it was probably rushing, but I was like, okay, I need to do the research for this. And then boom, I already had the research done. So this is from me. And then also, of course, some other sources, which I will cite. So there's going to be three main artists that I'm going to talk about right now, partially because they are super important and iconic, like, definers of the genre of Nueva Canción, but also because they really effectively illustrate the eras and the development of the genre and then where it is today. So starting off with Violeta Parra. So she was born in 1917, died in 1967, and she is the OG Nueva Canción artist. So in the 50s, along with her two children, Isabel and Angel Parra, they went around the country and collected like thousands of different songs and poems, like folkloric songs and poems, especially with indigenous, Mapuche, etc. roots. And this was in a time when the European music was more valued than like folkloric, indigenous, traditional music. So it was pretty important work that she was doing there. I'm trying to stand a little... and in her songs, there's a lot of indigenous reivindication, a lot of social commentary, and she made a popular radio program to share this music, and then she is considered the recuperator of a popular culture of Chile. So instead of kind of the blanqueamiento of trying to paint a European image onto Chile, she was pretty important in kind of revalorizing the traditional indigenous roots and understanding like a multiplicity of different kind of traditions outside of the quote-unquote modern. Next, okay, well, and she also kind of was the beginnings of the genre, so she emphasized like the development of it. Victor Jara, who was born in 1932 and died in 1973, was maybe the most exemplary of Nueva Canción. So he was a singer, a teacher, and a theater director, and he composed essential songs with social justice themes from his communist ideology. And he was part of, so Unidad Popular is a political party that Salvador Allende is part of. I'm going to get to all this political history after this, so don't worry if this is not ringing any bells. But he helped the presidential campaign of this socialist president, Allende, in the 70s. He himself was a son of, I think, a miner, and I'm not sure what his mother did, but like working class background. And he really believed in the power of the working class, and this is reflected through his music and through his activism. And his death in 1973 was an execution by the dictatorship regime that took over control from Allende, which, again, I'm going to get to that history, so don't worry if you're like, what the heck. But yes, he is like a martyr, considered a martyr for his ideals and the music that he made. So this is like the middle era of Nueva Canción. So he was really on those like leftist themes, but then, of course, his voice was stifled because of the dictatorship. Which brings me to the last artist, which I'll talk about, which is Quilapayún. So this is a band. They're formed in the 60s. And they were also a really big part of the Allende campaign. And they were exiled to France and continued making music there. So they, to me, are representing like the during the dictatorship era of music. And then they still perform today in Chile. So like continuing to modern times. And when I was in Chile, like I actually would just see them. Like I would be going to an event and then like this famous band would just be there performing for free. And that is like the music culture there for the most part. It's a lot of like community free open concerts like all the time, especially at like protests and like events or kind of different gatherings, which is super awesome because I feel like in the US it's quite hard to see any popular band for free or cheap, so it's cool that they make it so accessible, which definitely aligns with this kind of values that they're trying to disseminate with their songs. So like I said, I was going to give you a quick overview of Chilean politics, which informed Nueva Canción. So it is very intertwined with like political movements going on at the time. And as I mentioned, a lot of the bands and artists were integral in Salvador Allende's campaign, which was the socialist president, democratically elected socialist president, who served from 1970 to 1973. So a little bit background on him. The main thing I'm going to highlight was his platform to implement La Vía Chilena al Socialismo, so the Chilean path to socialism. And this is information I got from Wikipedia, by the way, an article about him. And it included nationalization of large-scale industries, such as copper and banking, government administration of health care system, in the educational system, a free milk program for school children, and the expansion of the land seizure and redistribution program, which began under his predecessor, President Eduardo Frei Montalva, which I will get into more because that was very interesting to me. He also intended to improve the socioeconomic welfare of Chile's poorest citizens. A key element was to provide employment either in the new nationalized enterprises or on public works projects. Now, keeping a impartial view, at the time of the coup, there was like huge inflation and there was unemployment in the country. So take with that what you will. I think his reforms are very admirable. But at that point, he hadn't started to actually I mean, he improved conditions, but there were still issues at the time. But that being said, he served for 3 years, or less than that, before his untimely death. Now, his land reform legislation. So prior to Montalva, which was the previous president, and Allende's reform, agricultural land was mostly partitioned into fundos under a system called latifundium. Basically, there's one landowner for each fundo, who almost enslaved peasant farmers to work their state. To me, it was super similar to the U.S. like sharecropping system, and people even compare it to serfdom. The peasant farmers experienced like terrible working conditions, very low payment, or like paid in food, paid in housing. Landowners controlled 92% of total agricultural land, only cultivated 18%. So there's also an issue with food supply. So it's not only is this terrible for the actual workers, but there wasn't necessarily enough food to go around. Like, these were unproductive fundos or agricultural land. So in response to that, Montalva and Allende encouraged mass unionization, and they appropriated 10 million hectares of land, of agricultural land, which in terms known to us, it's like 3 Marylands worth of just farmland to redistribute to peasants, which is amazing. So cracking down on this system that was totally exploiting so many people. They said 66% of agricultural workers were under this latifundium system. And it took up 92% of agricultural land. And by the way, all these stats I've gotten from a couple sources, which was a article within the Rosa Luxemburg Foundation by Patricia Lizarraga, The Land for Those Who Work for It, that article, as well as there's a couple more that I have to do with the next information I'm about to tell you. But and the other kind of actor in this are Mapuche people. So Mapuche are indigenous people in the south of Chile, and they have a serious presence in the country, and to this day have a lot of struggles of like reclaiming land, ancestral territory, reclaiming rights. So during this time, Chile officially recognized 2,000 plus Mapuche reservations covering an area of 85,000 acres. And in 1972, the Chilean parliament passed Law 17.729 based on legislation proposed by the Mapuche in the 60s and 70s with the goal to recover ancestral land seized by the same landowners. So this law, I think, is not talked about enough. And I got that information from an article from Indiferencia by Paula Huenchumil, and then also a legal review, called The Mapuche Struggle for Land and Recognition, a Legal Analysis by Susan Coney et al. This is a big deal. I feel like it was not talked about enough, but also because it was soon reversed. So that land was given back to the wealthy landowners, peasant farmers, and Mapuche communities struggled greatly because of a event that is going to take place on September 11, 1973. So the military coup, or el golpe militar, took place in Santiago, Chile. The presidential palace was bombed, and Salvador Allende, this president, who I just discussed, gave his last presidential speech from inside the palace, where he was found deceased. In his place, military general Augusto Pinochet took control as dictator. And his regime, it was like a regime of terror. I assume that most listeners may have heard a bit about this. If not, that's okay. Now you'll learn. But it's like a slew of atrocities, human rights violations. So his dictatorship lasts from 1973 to 1990, where the people of Chile were subjected to a systematic campaign of torture and state violence. An estimated 2,600 to 3,400 Chilean citizens were executed or disappeared, while another estimated 30,000 to 100,000 were tortured, according to the Redick and Valich reports. Hundreds of thousands of people fled the country. They set up detention and torture camps across the nation in stadiums in the states. Pinochet crushed political institutions, like he dissolved Congress, he dissolved unions. And this was the more obvious, explicit violence that still has repercussions today. And this idea of like disappeared people, a lot of these people who were killed or tortured, they were never found, or they were never recovered by their families. So it's just still so much pain and violence that still lasts until today. I mean, it's not that long ago, it's the 70s. And then in addition to this like more immediate human rights abuse, there's slow violence that was enacted by his policies, especially economic policies. So Pinochet reversed all those land reforms as I talked about and took back indigenous land. And overall, he embraced a neoliberal transition towards privatization, deregulation, cutting down state funding on social programs, letting in foreign investments. So overall, like a rapid capitalist transition that was supposed to modernize or develop, but rather deepens inequalities, according to many economists. Some other like concrete actions, he privatized copper and sold a lot of that to the United States. They received a lot of World Bank and IMF like for loans that we know how that goes. And major transnational corporations came in and kind of took control of a lot of industries. And guess who backed this coup to instate this violent fascist regime? Take a crazy guess. Who keeps intervening with Latin America and honestly the whole world? Yep, the United States. The United States backed this coup. After years of the dictatorship, I believe they realized, okay, we messed up. Like, this is terrible. But they did know, like, the violence that was going to take place. And they did know what kind of transition that Pinochet was going to instate. They see a democratically elected socialist president, and immediately this cannot be. So we have the U.S. to thank for a lot of this violence and the scars that are still left on Chile. Oh, wow. Okay. I've been talking a lot. Let me try to wrap it up. So, Nueva Canción in relation to Pinochet. He stifled his opposition, right? So many people were killed, exiled, disappeared. And this includes Nueva Canción artists and songs. So he prohibited performances and broadcasts of the music genre. He also banned indigenous instruments, such as the charango, which I played earlier, from being used as they were closely associated with the movement. So this genre is a form of resistance. He recognized this. According to Allende, direct quote, "There is no revolution without songs." Pinochet knows this. Songs have power. So he tried to stifle the movement. But guess what? It wasn't stifled completely. People continued to perform from exile, from within the country, using metaphors, after he was kicked out of office, voted out of office, actually, by a plebiscite. So we're going to listen to this now. That took a while. I didn't realize that I had so much to say, but I hope you learned something. I'm going to start out with three songs that mark the before. So this is kind of divided into three sections: before the dictatorship, during, and after. So La Muralla by Kilo Payun marks the before. Si Somos Americanos by Rolando Alarcón. And then Al Centro de Injusticia by Isabel Parra. So these three songs I'm going to play, and then we're going to talk about them a little bit. Okay, let's get into it.
Blancos, sus blancas manos. serpiente.
Cierra la muralla
al corazón del amigo.
Abre la muralla
al ruiseñor en la flor.
Alcemos esta muralla.
Somos americanos, somos hermanos, señores. Tenemos las mismas flores, tenemos las mismas manos. Si somos americanos, seremos buenos vecinos. Compartiremos el trigo, seremos buenos hermanos. Bailaremos marinera, tres palos a samba y son. Si somos americanos, seremos una canción. Si somos americanos, seremos una canción. Si somos americanos, no miraremos fronteras. Cuidaremos las semillas, miraremos las banderas. Si somos americanos, seremos todos iguales. El blanco, el mestizo, el indio y el negro son como tales. Bailaremos marinera, tres palos a samba y son. Si somos americanos, seremos una canción. Si somos americanos, seremos una canción.
Chile limita al norte con el Perú y con el Cabo de Hornos limita al sur. Se eleva en el oriente la cordillera y en el oeste luce la costanera, la costanera. Al medio están los valles con sus verdores, donde se multiplican los pobladores. Cada familia tiene muchos chiquillos, con su miseria viven en conventillos, en conventillos. Claro que algunos viven acomodados, sangre del degollado. Delante del escudo más arrogante, la agricultura tiene su interrogante, su interrogante. La papa nos la venden naciones varias, cuando del sur de Chile es originaria. Delante del emblema de tres colores, la minería tiene muchos bemoles, muchos bemoles. El minero produce buenos dineros, pero para el bolsillo del extranjero, exuberante industria donde labora. Señora, y así tiene que hacerlo porque al marido la paga no le alcanza para el mes corrido, para no sentir la aguja de este dolor. En la noche estrellada dejó mi voz, dejó mi voz. Linda se ve la señor turista, pero no le han mostrado las callampitas. Mientras gastan millones en un momento, de hambre se muere gente, que es un portento, que es un portento. Mucho dinero en parques municipales,
was just El Centro de la Injusticia by Isabel Parra, Si Somos Americanos by Rolando Alarcón, y La Muralla by Kilo Payún. So the first two, we can see the super hopeful and joyful sound of it. Si Somos Americanos is like Latin American unity. La Muralla is talking about like working class unity within Chile and like constructing a better nation together. And then Al Centro de la Injusticia is different. It's more of a social critique about like the actual state of society, and kind of the ironies and tensions between the working class and the upper class, talking about mining and, oh, the mining is so great, but then it fills up like the pocket of the foreigner. So talking about like transnational companies coming in and mining and profiting off of that. So that was the type of kind of discourse going on there. And yeah, that's a lot of her songs. There are a lot of commentaries talking about, yeah, indigenous working class rights, which is super cool. And that was Isabel Parra, who is the daughter of Violeta Parra, which was like the founder of the movement. And so she went around with her mother going and collecting all of these songs, which is a super interesting and awesome way to grow up. And then she became a singer herself, as well as Angel, her brother. And we are going to hear from him. He's going to be reciting a poem, actually, later on. But we're going to continue with Manifiesto by Víctor Jara and El Alma de Mi Pueblo by Rolando Alarcón. But yeah, let's get into it.
Por cantar, ni por tener buena voz. Canto porque la guitarra tiene sentido y razón. Tiene corazón de tierra y alas de palomita. Es como el agua bendita, santigua glorias y penas. Aquí se encajó mi canto, como dijera Violeta. Guitarra trabajadora, con olor a primavera. Guitarra de rico, ni cosa que se parezca. Mi canto es de los andamios para alcanzar las estrellas. Que el canto tiene sentido cuando palpiten las venas del que morirá cantando las verdades verdaderas, no las lisonjas fugaces ni las famas extranjeras, sino el canto de una loca hasta el fondo de la tierra.
Voy a sentarme a ver la lluvia. Hermano es el que canta y sueña más, y su canto es la fortuna. El alma de mi pueblo sobre el prado, la patria se levanta como el viento. En la tarde se queda un pensamiento. El alma de mi pueblo. Ayer el trigo era una pena, una bufanda de tristeza, una cadena. Cuando pasaba un tren envejecido, la guitarra escondía su quejido. descubrió justo el latino. La patria levantó cosechas nuevas y el vino remolió entre la azucena. El alma de mi pueblo. El alma de mi pueblo es una risa, un carrusel que no conoce prisa. La espada de los novios se levanta cuando un niño se ha dormido, cuando canta. El alma de mi pueblo es un corazón florido. La patria es sol y es piedra cuando canta. Es el alma de la vida, es su confianza. El alma de mi pueblo, el alma de mi pueblo, el alma de mi pueblo.
Me mandaron una... Sorry about that. That was El Alma de Mi Pueblo just now, and then Manifiesto before that. Manifiesto is such a beautiful song. I hadn't really heard it before this episode when I was compiling music. But yeah, so what he's saying in that song is like, I don't sing to just to sing or to have a good voice. I don't sing for the rich or for like foreign fame, but because like the guitar tells truths, the guitar belongs to the poor, and it belongs to the country. Yeah, so it's a pretty good representation of Nueva Canción. And then El Hombre de Mi Pueblo means the soul of my pueblos, like town, but it could be community or country. Next up, we have La Carta and Exilada del Sur. These two, although were not written during the dictatorship, they were used symbolically to represent the kind of struggles that people went through. So La Carta, it's talking about Violeta Parra. She's singing and says her brother... Okay, I don't know if this is a true story or not, but I'll look into this during the song and let you guys know. But she talks about her brother being abducted in prison for taking part in a strike. And it kind of reflects what happened to people who were political opposition during the dictatorship. And then Exilada del Sur also was not written during the dictatorship, and it is a poem by Violeta Parra. But as we heard, people were exiled during the dictatorship, especially to the south. So it means like exiled from the south, and people were exiled to the south of Chile into like remote towns, far away from their family. So they're both pretty representative of what went on. So give it a listen.
Me mandaron una carta por el correo temprano. En esa carta me dicen que cayó preso mi hermano. Y sin lástima con grillo por la calle lo arrastraron, sí. La carta dice el motivo que ha cometido Roberto. Haber apoyado el paro que ya se había resuelto. Si acaso esto es un motivo, presa también voy, sargento, sí. Yo que me encuentro tan lejos, esperando una noticia, me vine a decir en la carta que en mi patria no hay justicia. Los hambrientos piden pan, plomo le da la milicia, sí. De esta manera pomposa quieren conservar su asiento los de abanico y de frac sin tener merecimiento. van y vienen de la iglesia y olvidan los mandamientos, sí. Habráse visto insolencia, barbarie y alevosía, de presentar el trabuco y matar a sangre fría a quien defensa no tiene con las dos manos vacías, sí. La carta que he recibido me pide contestación. Yo pido que se propale por toda la población, que el lunes es un sanguinario en toda generación, sí. Por suerte tengo guitarra para llorar mi dolor. También tengo nueve hermanos fuera del que se engrilló. Los nueve son comunistas con el favor de mi Dios, sí.
Saludan mis pensamientos.
Entre las aguas y el viento me pierdo en la lejanía.
Mi brazo derecho en buen miedo, señores oyentes.
El otro por San Vicente quedó, no sé con qué fin.
Mi pecho en pura cautín, lo veo en un jardincillo. Mis manos en maitencillo saludan en pelequé. Y la UGEN recoge unos pececillos.
Se me enredó en San Rosendo un día al cruzar una esquina.
El otro en la Quiriquina se me hunde mares adentro.
Mi corazón descontento latió con penente muco
y me ha llorado en calbuco de frío por una escarcha.
Voy en derecho mi marcha a la cuesta y Chacabuco.
Mis nervios dejó en graneros la sangre en San Sebastián.
Y en la ciudad de Chilla la calma me bajó a cero.
Mi riñonada en Cabrero destruye una caminata.
Calle de Ijata se me rompió el instrumento,
en Tilgo pa' nacimiento una mañana de plata.
Desembarcando en Río, pues se vio a la Violeta Parra, sin cuerdas en la guitarra. En el Corrigüe, una banda de chigües le vino a dar un concierto. Desembarcando en Rigüe se dio a la Violeta Parra. Desembarcando en Rigüe se dio a la Violeta Parra.
All right. Next up, we have Somos 5000 by Ángel Parra. It's recited by Ángel Parra. It's a poem originally by Víctor Jara. And as I explained before, Víctor Jara was one of the main iconic figures of Nueva Canción. And he was executed in a torture center by Pinochet. 1973. And this was a poem that he wrote in detention. So I'm going to play a bit for you all. And then for those who do not speak Spanish, I'll try to translate a few lines. Before we get there, though, one thing to say about La Carta. Some of those lyrics translated, which impacted me, were the hungry ask for bread, the militia gives them bullets, and then the priests come and go from church and forget the commandments. So a lot of critique about these powerful institutions and the treatment of people. And I looked it up. I could not find if it was a true story or not. She does have a brother. I could not see if he was actually imprisoned. But either way, it's a song that is applicable to a lot of people's situations, especially in the dictatorship. All right, let's get started with Somos Cinco Mil.
Somos 5.000. ¿Cuántos somos en total? En las ciudades y en todo el país. Solo aquí 10.000 manos que siembran y hacen andar las fábricas. ¿Cuánta humanidad con hambre, frío, pánico, dolor, presión moral, terror y locura? 6 de los nuestros se perdieron en el espacio de las estrellas. Un muerto, un golpeado como jamás creí se podría golpear a un ser humano. Los otros 4 quisieron quitarse todos los temores, uno saltando al vacío, otro golpeándose la cabeza contra el muro, pero todos con la mirada fija en la muerte. ¡Qué espanto causa el rostro del fascismo! Llevan a cabo sus planes con precisión artera, sin importarles nada. La sangre para ellos son medallas. La matanza es un acto de heroísmo. ¿Este es el mundo que creaste, Dios mío? ¿Para esto tus 7 días de asombro y de trabajo? En estas 4 murallas solo existe un número que no progresa, que lentamente querrá más muerte. Pero de pronto me golpea la conciencia y veo esta marea sin latido, y veo el pulso de las máquinas y los militares mostrando su rostro de matrona llena de dulzura. Y México, Cuba y el mundo, que griten esta ignominia. Somos 10.000 manos menos que no producen. ¿Cuántos somos en toda la patria? La sangre del compañero presidente golpea más fuerte que bombas y metrallas. Así golpeará a nuestro puño nuevamente.
That was Somos 5.000 by Angel Parra. As I said, it was a poem that was originally made by Víctor Jara. It's extremely, extremely profound. I suggest you all to read it. But this is him being imprisoned in Estadio Nacional. So it was like a national stadium converted into a detention camp. And he says, we are 5,000 here. 6 of us were lost in the space of the stars. One dead, one beaten like I never believed. And it just talks about so much of the torture and atrocity that takes place, including the death of the President Allende at the end. It's really tragic and heartbreaking. And honestly, so powerful that we have that composition by him to see in such like a deep way how people were living inside those camps. And Manifiesto, the other song that I played by him before, is also released posthumously. So he was composing songs while detained, and then they were released after he was executed. So next I have Cuando Llega el Invierno by Isabel Aldunate, excuse me. And this song is a good representation of Canto Nuevo. So Canto Nuevo is the way that Chileans continue to make Nueva Canción under censorship by using metaphors and doing like instrumental songs instead. So this is a really great example. So Invierno, which means when winter comes, and winter was in a lot of songs used as kind of a metaphor for the Pinochet regime. So give this a listen.
llega el invierno, las noches se duermen frías. Manda el rigor del viento y duele el color del tiempo. Cuando llega el invierno se endurece la vida. Cuando llega el invierno tus manos buscan las mías. Se nos escarcha el alma, se congela la esperanza. Cuando llega el invierno se va perdiendo la calma. Quédese compañero, ya pasa el temporal. Cuando se aclare el cielo volveremos a volar. Cuando se aclare el cielo volveremos a volar. El invierno nos pena en las calaminas, el techo llama al martillo, el barro quema a los niños. Cuando llega el invierno se busca a los vecinos. Cuando llega el invierno la lluvia baila furiosa, el hielo mata a los huertos, la mesa niega sus puestos. Cuando llega el invierno las casas se vuelven puertos. Quédese compañero, ya pasa el temporal. Cuando se aclare el cielo volveremos a volar. Cuando se aclare el cielo volveremos a volar.
Next up, we are going to transition out of this dark period of the dictatorship. So Pinochet did get voted out with a plebiscite in, let me pull up the year, I think 91. I think it was in the 80s, 88, and then in 91 he was finally out. But it was a plebiscito de no, and he lost power, and people could return from exile, return from detainment. So for that, I have El Pueblo Unido Jamás Será Vencido by Hilo Payun. And this is a song that many of you all might have heard. It is still used a lot of protests, and it was used throughout his regime, but then also afterwards to like represent that. So it means that like the people united could never be defeated. So to me, it represents like triumphing from this dark time and being a united people, united country, free of this like regime of terror. And then ending with Vuelvo Para Vivir by Ilapu, which is another song that's super popular today still in Chile. And it's, to me, kind of talking about people returning back to Chile after being in exile for a decade or longer. So those are the last two songs, and then we'll end out for today. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you like these last two. They are joyful, and it shows that there's hope. It was years of terror, and there's still repercussions today, but the people won, and that gives us hope as a society.
Y así nacido, el pueblo unido jamás será vencido. La patria está forjando la unidad, de norte a sur se movilizará, desde el salar ardiente y mineral al bosque austral, unidos en la lucha y el trabajo irán, la patria cubrirá.
Vivir